Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here, and welcome to Cornerstone. If you're visiting, let me just also add my welcome, and happy Father's Day to all those who are maybe granddads, stepdads, or role models for other people. It's always good to kind of celebrate the wideness and the breadth that we have with people who play a fatherly role. And before we start, we're just going to watch a quick clip. That's great, isn't it? It's those first few moments when people discover that they're about to have a baby, or when you have a little toddler and they're saying the words daddy. And today we're celebrating being dads. And there's so much that we can celebrate. We've had a great celebration already, Reverse Park Challenge. Kieran got a lot of abuse for that, but I don't think he was very good and he needs a lot of practice. So all those that are good drivers, you might want to give him some advice a bit later on. And it reminded me of a story when I was growing up. As a family, we used to go on holiday with two or three other families when I was a child. And, you know, those are the kind of people you call auntie and uncle, but they're not really your auntie and uncle, but you're just taught to call them auntie and uncle because they're older adults. And one year we were going on holiday. I was a boy from Peckham. So we were going on holiday and we were in North Wales and we were in Carnarvon. Let's see if I can get it up. There it is there. Ooh. I'll come back to that. There, we were in Carnarvon Castle. And we'd been playing on the beach. I was about 4 or 5 years old. I remember it very clearly. And it was a lovely day. We'd been playing on the beach. And after a while, me and the similar children aged to me, we decided that we would just go running along the beach and we would be jumping in puddles. So we went jumping in puddles and my dad was behind me and my uncle. My uncle and my dad were walking, the friends together, and they were walking behind us. And we were jumping along, and we were running along, and I would jump in a puddle and make a splash. And there was a girl who was a similar age to me. She was called Karen, and she would jump and splash me. And it was a hot, sunny day. And at one point, Karen jumped in this puddle and totally disappeared. I'm serious. She totally disappeared straight down into this puddle. And I was like, you know how like these moments happen in your life, and you're like, the world just stops. And you're like, for a second, everything just stands still. And she was just completely underneath. I was like, help! And I started screaming. And my dad and my uncle who were behind, they were running along, And you could see, if you looked into the puddle, it was level with the ground, you could see her floating underneath in this water, in this puddle. Obviously, there's some kind of quicksand or something there. And my dad just came along very coolly and calmly. And what he did is he looked in, and even though I was going, help, help, and he looked in, and he put his feet either side of the hole, and he put his hand in, and he grabbed her head, and he pulled her out. Just in one go. And it was like, wow. That is a true story. And to this day, Karen always thinks of my dad as being the hero who saved her life. It was just one of those moments where it was just a freak accident that happened, but my dad was on hand, strong but caring, to grab down, pick her out, and to save her life. And this morning, one of the aspects that we want to look at of being fathers is being strong fathers. But one of the ways that we can do that is to be a caring father. What does it mean to be a caring father? What does it mean to be caring? It's interesting that Matthew had that picture earlier on, because I've got the same picture. Caring kind of is when you kind of put someone above you and you're looking after them, protecting them, looking after the needs and the kindness and the concern for others. And we have a great dad, don't we, called God, Father God, who cares for us in lots of different ways. And we're going to look at some of those ways this morning. And we're going to look at how God cares for us and how we can care for children. And the great thing about this is that it applies to us whether we are fathers or we're not. We can apply this to all the relationships that we have. So the Bible tells us this. Give all your worries to God because he cares for you. We know that God cares for us. We know that God cares for us. But sometimes we don't always remember it, do we? And God needs to remind us. And God wants to remind us that he cares for us. And there are different ways that he does that. One of the ways he does that is this. No, it's gone too fast. You take care of the land and you water it. You make it very fertile. The rivers of God are full of water. Grain grows because you make it grow. One of the ways that we know that God cares for us is that we see it in creation. We see it in the things around us. And these are a little bit like God's ways of communicating to us very quickly. They're like little captured moments, a little bit like Twitter or Facebook, or, you know, like you send a text message or WhatsApp. It's a quick message, you read it, and then you carry on with your day. And when we walk around and we live in the world that we live in, and we catch these moments where we go, oh, that's a beautiful sunset, or we live by the sea, or it's beautiful to live by the rocks and the water of the sea, or whatever we like in creation that we see, They are little text messages from God when he's saying, you see the beauty in creation. It's an example that I care for you. You know, I went to the doctors recently and I said, you know, I've got a problem. I'm addicted to Twitter. And the doctor said, I don't follow you. I'm sorry. There's more. Don't worry. You know, when you get the privilege of holding that baby for the very first moment, I don't know if those of you who have had children, those of you who are, you know, going to have children in the future, it's a very special moment when you hold that baby for the first time, and it's so fragile, and it's so vulnerable, and it feels so small in your hands. And part of you is excited, and part of you is like, oh my word, what am I going to do with this thing? How am I going to look after it? And all our fatherly instincts come out and we go, we want to care for it, but we don't know how, and we don't know how we're going to look after it. I remember as well one time when we brought Karis home, when we brought Ethan home. Ethan's our third child. And one time he was upstairs in the cot and Helen was downstairs in the house, and she heard through the intercom that he started to cry through, you know, these intercom systems. So he heard that he started to cry. So she kind of came to the bottom of the stairs. By the time she got to the bottom of the stairs, Karis, who was three at the time, already displaying some parental contributions to life, she was standing at the top of the stairs, through the stair gate, holding about a two-week-old Ethan going, Mummy! Dangling little Ethan over the stairs, because she was caring for him, because he'd been crying. She must have been super fast to get him out of the cot, but she was there dangling Ethan. Helen was like, oh, what am I going to do? But the thing is, she was showing that she cared. And God gives us these little pointers in creation to show us that he cares. And often we're too busy and we miss them. And God wants us to see creation because he wants us to see him. It points to him. It points to him. He wants to remind us continually that he cares for us. It says this as well, a bit later on. It says, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and everything that God has made. They clearly see the invisible qualities, his power and his divine nature. So we have no excuse for not knowing God. It's a little bit like it's Christ's test message for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. The psalmist says to us, when I look at the heavens which you made with your fingers, and I see the moon and the stars which you created, why are people important to you? He's asking the question. He's looking around and saying, this is amazing. I've seen some amazing things. Why are we so important? Why do you care for us? And at the end of the psalm, he says, Lord, your name is the most wonderful name in all the earth. He realizes that by looking at creation, he sees the picture of a God who is so amazing and cares and loves him and so special and has a real special care for him. And he sees that. He sees that God cares for him. Another way that we see it is in Jesus. Jesus told a story. When he was around, one of the things that we do to see who God is we see what Jesus did and how Jesus lived. And Jesus told a story about a father. And he said, this father had two sons. And one of the sons came to him and said, Dad, I now want all the things that are due to me. I want my inheritance. I want to have all the things that you've promised that I can have, and I want them now. And the father gave these things to his son. And the son went away, and he said that he squandered the money on wild living, on parties and lots of different things. And he ended up with no money at all. And Jesus was telling this story to the people around him and talking and describing what it's like to have a heavenly father who cares and who loves them. And he said this son was in the town a long way off. And what happened was he'd now run out of money and there was a famine in the land. And in this famine, he was, I've got to get a job. I've got to find a job. And in the finding of the job, he worked in a pig sty. And he was so hungry that he started to eat some of the things that the pigs were eating as well. And he came to his senses and he realized, he said, you know what? I need to go back to my father. I need to go back and say sorry to my father and apologize. And I need to say, look, just take me on as a servant, because at least as a servant, I'll have some food and I'll have some things to eat. And he started on his way back. And I'm sure as he was walking back, he was heavy, that he was burdened down with some of the things that were going to be thinking of what he was going to say and how he was going to approach his father. And he says that even while he was a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion. And he ran towards him to greet him and to meet him. And even before the words had come out of his mouth, his father had put his arms around him and said, welcome home. It's great to have you back. And even though the son apologized and said, I'm sorry, and I don't deserve to be called your son anymore, the father said, no, we're so glad you're home. We're going to celebrate and we're going to throw a party because you are home and I love you. And he says to another son, my son that was lost is found. And it's a picture that we've had throughout everything that we've done this morning. We have a heavenly father who cares for us. If we want to be good at caring for our children, the best place to start is to remember that we have a heavenly father who cares and loves us. Who loves and thinks we're so, so special. And we can care for others because God cares for us. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to try and work out how to care for our children and do better like that. We have a father who demonstrates and shows us how much he cares for us. We see it in the text message of creation, and we see it in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the example. He said, I came to rescue you. Jesus came to rescue us so that we can have a relationship with God. This morning, just be reminded again that as we see Jesus, as we understand who Jesus is, that Jesus came and died on the cross and was raised to life again on the third day, and he's still alive today, it is a reminder of a God who cares. A God who is strong, but a God who cares as well. And actually caring, we understand it and we see it because he rescues us. He saves us because we can't do life on our own. We can't make it work on our own. We can't be good dads, or we can't be good friends, or we can't be good mothers, or we can't be good parents on our own. We need God. And God says, I want to show you that I care about you, that I love you, and I can help you in every situation. So what we're going to do is, for the next few minutes, we're going to look at how we can do that. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to keep fit. Now, if we are, like I think someone was saying earlier, we want to keep fit, be strong. One of the ways to be strong is to be keep fit. You go down the gym. Well, I think if we can learn how to be strong in our caring, as our particularly as fathers, but all of us, then we're going to go some way to understanding what it's like for God to care for us. So we're going to keep fit. We're going to look at three things, and they all start with each of the letters from the keep fit. So the first one is to have fun. I need to just... Oh, there he is. Thank you, Simon. Have fun. One of the ways that we can show that we care for our children is to have fun with them. And this is just an encouragement to all of us, and an encouragement to every single one of us, to put the fun and the laughter and the enjoyment back into our parenting. Now, it's not always a fun time when you've had sleepless nights, you've got lung children, and you've got to go to work, and there's a whole host of things. But the Bible encourages us to have fun with our children. And it's actually when we take the fun moments that we actually begin to build memories in the lives of our children. They remember the fun things that we do. They remember some of the fun occasions that we have together. Now, just from things that I've heard recently, these are some of the things that I've heard that parents from this church and other friends that I have been doing recently. They've been going on late night, midnight walks in the rain, down the beach, splashing in the Lido, snuggling under a duvet on a cold Saturday afternoon with a hot chocolate, going to watch a football game, going to the museum because it's free, hanging out in the library, playing hide and seek in the house or in the garden, taking them on trips away. Recently, someone told me that they'd been camping, and when they're on the campsite, they'd run around the tents. And I said, you can't run around the tents. You must have ran around the tents. And they said, why is that? He said, well, because it's past tense. That is terrible, isn't it? But the reality is, there's a whole host of things. If you've got a baby, blowing a raspberry on their tummy when you're changing a nappy. There is a whole host of things that we can do to be creative and fun with our children. And it doesn't have to depend on money. It can be some of the most simplest things that we do, and it doesn't have to depend on money. It depends on just being creative and doing something fun. I remember when Helen and I were working in Namibia, and we were helping to work with a daycare centre. And there were lots of children in that daycare centre. And Namibia is a very hot place, and it doesn't rain very much. So they had lots of toys that were donated to them. But one of their most favourite thing that they could do with the children, we was hose them down. Literally. On a hot day, they would say, hose, they would shout out and they would chant for it. And I would plug the hose into the water tap and I would just stand there sprinkling these children. They thought it was like amazing. In the hot weather, just having this wet, I mean, they didn't take their clothes off. They just all soaked and got wet, but the sun was so hot, they would dry in about 15 minutes afterwards. They loved just having the sprinkling all over them. And it doesn't have to be money-oriented, but it's exciting and creative, and we're encouraged to have fun with our children. You see, Jesus had fun. When you read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, Jesus was a really fun person to be around. He was going to parties, dinner parties. He was going on boat trips. He was going on picnics. He was going to different people's houses. He was going different places in the country, just going on different excursions with his followers and his disciples. Jesus modeled having fun. And so as fathers, it's a real encouragement to us to have fun with our children and to do some fun things. Now, often we find, don't we, that when we want to have fun, there are things that actually get in the way. One of the things that gets in the way is we need to just make sure that our activities are age appropriate, that they are the right thing for the right level. We wouldn't take a 3-year-old skydiving, would we? So when we do our activities, you need to do it with the children that you have and with the people that you have. And if they're grown up, they're going to be slightly different activities as if they're 3-year-olds. And of course, we have to be careful as well in those things. But the other thing is that we live in a world, don't we, where it's easy to be distracted and busy. It's easy to be distracted and busy, isn't it? And say, I'm too busy. I don't know about you, but in life, often we're working, we've got things that we've got to do, things in the house, maybe the car breaks down, all these different kind of things. And we can miss out on the memory-making fun because we're busy and distracted. And I'm speaking as much to myself as to anyone. But the Bible encourages us that Jesus always made time for fun times. He always made time to do some fun things with the people and the friends that he had. And I just want to encourage you. Let's encourage us as fathers to build in those fun times. There's nothing wrong with building it into your schedule, saying, right, that afternoon, we're going to have some fun. Even if you don't know what the fun is you're going to do, you can at least build it in. So you block it off and you say, that time is for me having fun with the children, whatever it might be. Strawberry picking, going in the garden, picking conkers, going to see somebody. There's a whole host of things. But it's just an encouragement to us to have fun. One of the people I think who models this quite well is this guy here, David Beckham. I'm always encouraged by, often when I see pictures of him now in the news, he's with his children, doing something, either at a ball game or taking them shopping like for coffees or whatever it is he's doing. He's often with his children. He's very hands-on. And he was recently on ITV's Good Morning, and he said this. He was talking about his son, Brooklyn. And he was saying that with his son, Brooklyn, he's at the age now, he's 16, where he doesn't like a lot of attention. But David says, he's at the age now where he doesn't want me to drop him off outside school. He doesn't want too much attention, but I still want to kiss him. This is David Beckham speaking. So his son has said to him, Dad, can you drop me off around the corner? He said, one day he dropped me off around the corner on the way to school. So David Beckham said that as he dropped him off to school, he saw his son walking into school. And David said he hid behind the corner. And as his son was nearly in school, he drove around. David Beckham then drove around and wound down the window and said, I love you, son. And he said, my son was not very happy at the time. But it's interesting. He says, later on, he came to him and said, thank you for saying that. And so just because we may have teenagers, it doesn't mean that the activities may change, but the having fun and giving attention and giving love just happens in a different way. And we have to find different ways to do it, don't we? But it's an encouragement for us to do it, and we can do it. And I think that's a good encouragement for us. You know, just before we just move on to the next point, Jesus was, before he did anything in his ministry, at the age of 30, before he'd done anything that we read in the Bible, God the Father spoke to him. When Jesus was baptized, it says that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. And this voice cried out and said, you are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. I'm very pleased with you. And God the Father was modeling to us that his son, who hadn't achieved the things that he had done yet because his ministry was just about to begin, even before he'd done anything, he got a word of attention, an affirmation from his father that was said, I love you. Go, son. Well done. I'm with you. You're special. I think you're the most special thing. And it's our words, isn't it? It's not just necessarily we can have fun by our words and our actions. All the things that we do demonstrate to our children that we love them. The second thing that we can do is we can be the kind of people that our children want to imitate. We can be the role models that our children want to look up to. We can set a good example. We can be a major influence on their lives. We can be the kind of people who display a quality or a character that our children would like to have. Recently, I was going out shopping, and this is not a joke, by the way, just to kind of, you're like thinking, when's a joke coming? There's one coming, but not yet. You have to wait. I was going out shopping, and I was going out with the boys, and they wanted to buy some shorts. So we went into the shop to buy some shorts, and I thought, in my mind, in my dress sense of a 40-year-old, these are the kind of shorts that we should be buying. So I said, boys, let's get these shorts. And they said, no, Dad, we want these shorts. And I was like, lads, these are great shorts. These are really good price. They're really trendy, I think. And these are the kind of ones. They said, no, Dad, these are the ones we want. So I was like, okay, we'll go for those. And I looked at them, and I thought, those are really old-fashioned. I was wearing those when I was young. People aren't wearing those now anymore, are they? So we bought those shorts, and I come out of the shop, and what do I see? All the young guys, they're wearing those kind of shorts. And so I don't want my boys to imitate my dress sense, because obviously I need to imitate their dress sense, because they're a lot more trendy than I am. But the reality is that as fathers, as parents, even as uncles and aunties or grandparents, we have a great privilege and a responsibility and an honor to live and act in a way that our children can imitate, that they can look up to and say, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to have that quality. I remember when I first became a parent, I remember thinking, I don't know what to do, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the people around me, some of my friends who'd had babies a few years before, and I'm going to watch what they do, and I like what they do, and I'm going to try and be a parent like the way they are. I learned from people who were a bit older. We all do it, don't we? We learn from those around us and our friends. And we have a great privilege as parents and fathers to be the kind of people that our children want to imitate. And why do we do that? How can we do that? Well, we're being role models. The first thing is just to be yourself. Be who you are. Don't try and be somebody else. Sometimes we think, oh, we have to be this kind of person or dress in this way or like this kind of music. No, the best person you can be that your children can imitate is you. And the only person they're going to learn the most from is when you're yourself. And that's a great thing because we don't have to do anything apart from get up in the morning and be ourselves, don't we? We don't have to try and be someone else. Just being ourselves, being you, is the best person that our children and our children can imitate. But the other thing, of course, is that we have a God that they can imitate. In Ephesians 5, it says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So the Bible encourages us to imitate God in the way that we live, in the way that we act, in the way that we talk, in the way that we do life. And as we do that, our children will see the way that we are. They will imitate us, but actually they'll be imitating God in us, won't they? Which is really exciting. I can't do this on my own, but I know that with the power of the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside me, he can help me to be more like Jesus. And as I want to be a role model for my children and for other children around me, I hope that it points them a little bit to Jesus and they want to catch this thing where they imitate God and to be like God and be like the person he is. You see, Jesus' friends came to him one time and they said, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus had been talking about going to heaven and he'd been talking about the things that were going to happen. And Philip said to him, Jesus, show us the Father. That's all we need. And Jesus said, have I been with you such a long time now that you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing on his own. The Son, referring to himself, does only what he sees the Father doing because the Son does what the Father does. So in other words, if we want to know what God the Father is like, how do we imitate God? We look at Jesus. And all through the Gospels, there's stories and teachings about who Jesus is. And as a church, we're looking at the Amaze series because we're looking at all the wonderful things that Jesus said and then in the Gospels that he did that demonstrate who he is as Jesus is the Son of God, but also Jesus was a man, true man, and how we can live and be like Jesus. So God says, he encourages us to imitate him, and he gives us the tools in Jesus as to how to do that. And we can model that to our children. We can be the people that model that to our children and help them to understand a little bit more about Jesus. The last thing that fits with our fit, so F for fun, I for imitate, and the last thing is we have the opportunity with our children to teach truth, to teach them what it is that is right and wrong so they do the right thing. And this is a real encouragement to us to teach truth because it's a foundation for their lives. It's going to help them. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why is truth important? Well, truth is important because it gives them a foundation for their lives. It gives them a basic foundation for them to build on. And it's really important for our children that as they grow up and make their own decisions, they know the right thing to do. How can we do that? Well, we have the Bible. We can teach them the Bible. Again, we're age appropriate. Lots of different ways and tools now where we can teach the Bible and help people to understand about Jesus. Then they come to these meetings in church and they go to Sunday school and in our own homes. How we live our own lives and model our walk and our relationship with Jesus teaches them about the truth of who Jesus is. And it's a great encouragement to us to do that. It brings a balance to their lives. The Bible says that when you know the truth will make you set you free. We want our children, don't we, to live free lives. Free lives, what it means is freedom in Christ, freedom in Jesus, so they are true and they're living as the people that God wants them to be. And they're living as the people and the people that they can grow up to be. And we have the privilege to teach them and to help them to do that. So staying true means being true to yourself. We said this as well about being the kind of person you can imitate. You know, I don't know about you, but I often make mistakes. And my children are watching how I handle the mistakes and how I deal with people that upset me or people that annoy me or people that make me cross or the times when I've done something wrong and I need to apologize. We don't have to think that we have to be perfect to model truth. We can teach truth and we can live it because Jesus lives in us. And when we make mistakes, we're quick to say sorry and we're quick to forgive. And when we do the right thing and we encourage them to understand and know more about Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we can point them to Jesus and he will teach them the truth. And we can point them through the pages of the Bible of what it means to live and to be true. You see, there's a famous quote from St. Augustine. It says this, truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose and it will defend itself. And the truth is so strong. That's why Jesus says, when you know the truth, it will set you free. We want our children to grow up strong. And one of the ways that we can show them to help them to be strong is to teach them how to know truth and what it means to live in the truth. So just as we're coming to finish now, recently I don't know how many of you are interested. Some of the fathers I know in this room are interested. Snooker. I quite like watching the snooker. And snooker is a game that you play between two people and you have to pot all these different balls. And you either go for a shot yourself and you take the shot on, or sometimes if you know you're not going to make it, you try and play safe and you try and make it so that your opponent can't pot a ball because they're going to be in chance to win. And I remember in this year's final, there was two people, one called Stuart Bingham, who eventually went on to win it. There he is there. And a guy called Sean Murphy. And they were playing snooker. And this is what the commentators said. They were talking about the final. And they said this. I don't know. They talked about playing a safety shot when you want to play so your opponent doesn't. And they said this. This is what the commentators said. I don't know why we are even talking about playing safe. The nature of the game in the final is that the two players are going for every shot. Even if the shot is a little bit risky and they could let their opponent in, they are going for it and playing to their limits. They're not taking the safe option. And when I heard the commentator saying that about this game, I thought that is a great role model thing for us to be the kind of parents and be fathers that we want to be. It's easy sometimes to take the safe option. I'm too busy. I haven't got time to deal with the children. I haven't got time to deal with this. No, take the option where you go to the limits as a father. And God says, I will help you. Remember, we saw it at the beginning. God has given us all these different things. The creation, Jesus, as keys that he cares for us. And he shows us how to be the kind of caring, strong fathers that we want to be. And Jesus says, you can go for this. Go to it to the limits. He's encouraging you. And actually, I'm putting you on the on the shoulders. One last story. When every twice a week, I go running. And over the last couple of years, each of my sons has come to me and said, can I run with you? Now, I run for 5 miles, and I just kind of jog around, and I just quite happily, I don't go very fast. It's not about going fast, it's just about doing it. So when my first son, Jonas, said he wanted to come running with me, we would be running together, but he had to build up to that kind of distance. And then when he was doing the 5 miles with me, I would be talking to him, and he would be making no noise because he was concentrating on running. And then after a few weeks, he'd begin to chat, and he'd begin to get used to the 5 miles. And then after a few more weeks, he was increasing the pace, and I was then slowing down in what I was talking about because I couldn't keep up with him. And now when we go running, I have to say, please slow down, please slow down, please slow down, because he wants to not only imitate me, he wants to run on ahead of me. So then when my second son, Ethan, said, I want to learn to run, we went through the whole thing again. I thought, oh, this would be easy. He's younger. So then we start running, and again, the same thing happens. He's just concentrating on running. Ethan, you're right. Not much noise. He's just concentrating on running. And then as we go on, after a few weeks, he gets better at the 5 miles. So he's chatting away. And now exactly the same thing has happened again. Well, whoever I go running with, I'm the slow one. And they're running ahead of me. And I say, please slow down. Wait for me. I can't keep up with you. And God is encouraging us as fathers to go to the limits of being a father and say you can care for your children more than you think. And God gives us all the tools and all the things that we need to push us to do a great job of being fathers. And God says, when you care, that makes you a stronger father. Caring makes us stronger. And so fathers, that's the challenge for us this morning. Keep fit as a father. Have fun with your children. Be the kind of person that they can imitate, that they want to look up to. Be yourself. Be a role model. And teach them truth. Tell them about Jesus. Teach them what Jesus has done for you and how he can shape and change their lives. And to do that, we're going to just give you a little gift this morning as you leave. We want to help you to remember that this morning. Now, some of you will probably remember the Yorkie Bar adverts. It was like man fuel. How to be strong as a man. And so this morning, we've got a Yorkie bar for every man, every person of the male species in the room. We have a Yorkie bar for you today, and we'd like to give it to you and to encourage you. And if you're a father, encourage you that caring makes you stronger. And if you're a grandfather or a stepdad, or you're not a father yet, caring makes you stronger. And if you play a role in other people's children and you're able to help and support other people, it's for you as well. It's for every single one of you. Caring makes you stronger. And there's a bit of man fuel to have for the rest of the afternoon to help you to think about that. So let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are our heavenly Father. You are the perfect Father. As we heard about earlier at the very beginning of the meeting, you are the perfect Father. And we thank you that you love us and that you care for us. We thank you that you show us. You show us little signs in creation. You show us most perfectly in Jesus, that Jesus came to die and to rescue us. And to set us free from the things that we do wrong and the things that hold us back so that we can have a full relationship with you and know what it is to be children of God. And Lord, we want to say as fathers, we want to be the best that we can be. And we thank you that you help us to do that. And one of the ways that we can do that is to be a caring father, to have fun with our children. To be good role models, to be someone that they can imitate. And to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about you, God, in the form of Jesus, the perfect Father. So Lord, help us to do that. Thank you that you demonstrate how to do that. You are the perfect role model. Thank you that you are the perfect person to have fun with. Thank you that you are the truth. And that you want to be a part of our lives. And help us on this Father's Day with our man fuel, to be caring fathers, because that makes us stronger fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.